All right. This is the third year of this study, looking at comparing what traps are available for national survey program for EAB, and looking at those specifically at low density. So those newer infestations, those populations that haven't grown to where we have visual survey signs and symptoms. And since I work with EAB, I'm required to show this map, or at least it seems like it. Our study wanted to focus on these low areas where there's new infestations, where it's just moving in, or there's some other environmental factor keeping populations low. And we wanted to identify the most effective of the available traps, something that's available for the national program that's easy to deploy to get out to all the different states and counties that need to do EAB survey. And with this kind of finding those best traps, we can have earlier detection. And if we have early detection, we can have earlier implementation of management and with the goal of reducing the potential for spread. It's not going to eliminate the pest, but it can reduce that potential of spread. And then eventually we want to be able to make recommendations to the national program, to states and counties that are doing survey work as to what traps work best, what characteristics of those traps actually improve the detection of EAB. So here are our traps this year. We use the girdled trees. This gives us a comparison back to previous years because it's a standard that we've always had in this study. So we had a 07 girdle, and this was girdled in the spring of 07. And then we had a girdle tree from this year, and we wrapped tree with plastic, tanglefoot the tree, and the girdle's about a meter above the ground. Then we also use those same purple traps that everybody's been talking about with a Phoebe lure. And these were hung at a meter and a half. And all these traps are hung in ash trees. They're in ash trees. Then we use those same purple traps at 6 meters with Manuka oil and then also with a Phoebe oil. And then those green traps at 6 meters with no lure at all and then also with a Phoebe lure. Here's just a map of distribution of our sites throughout Michigan, eastern Indiana, northwestern Ohio, and west central Pennsylvania. Last year, I kind of set a threshold for what was a low density site and what was a high density site. And I used that again this year for this analysis. And at low density sites, these were capturing 200 beetles total. This is all the traps summed together over the entire flight season. So these are very low density sites compared to sites that Damon talked about where he was catching 400 beetles on a trap over a week. And so this is sites where there are no visual cues, there's no epicormic shoots, there's no bark splitting, you can't find exit holes. Canopies are still full and they're not thinning, there's little dieback. So these are definitely low density sites where the beetle is not causing issues with the tree. And then high density sites capture more than 200 beetles. And we did have 0 sites this year, which I separated out. But for this talk, I just want to focus on those low density sites where there were beetles at very low population densities. And those were spread throughout our study area. And the interesting thing is some of those high density sites that we had were in northwestern Ohio and the Toledo area, but it's so patchy that we still have very low density sites in these areas where very few beetles are present and there's very little stress on the trees. For each of the sites, I calculated the number of beetles per day per trap, and then also calculated the proportion of EAB captured at a site on each trap. And for those two measures of capture rates, species of ash didn't differ. So whether it's black, green, or white, as long as there's a trap there, it captured beetles at the same rate. And then the vigor ratings didn't differ. So if a tree was a 07 girdle, you would think that it would have very low vigor rating because it's been stressed for over a year. Or if it's a ungirdled tree, you think the vigor ratings are going to be very similar or very different. But the capture rates per day, proportion of EAB, no matter what the vigor ratings were, it didn't really play out into providing us differences. What did happen were the trees that were overtopped, so they were low in the canopy, they were overtopped, there was no direct sunlight reaching those trees. Those captured fewer EAB per day, and they had a lower proportion of the EAB captured than open grown and dominant trees. So this kind of fits with what everybody else has been saying, where you want a dominant tree, you want an open grown tree, you want an edge tree. Those trees that get direct sunlight on several different sides improve the ability to capture EAB and detect it over the flight season. And when there's no sunlight, you get fewer EAB. This is no matter what trap type it is. And then this year we had no relationship between tree diameter and detection. Last year we were focusing more on girdled trees, and when there's a girdled tree involved, it appeared that as the tree diameter increased, there was an increase in the odds of detecting EAB. But this year, by using lures, the diameter didn't play out as being as important in terms of the odds of detection. This figure is the proportion of EAB captured on each of the traps, and on the x-axis is the trap types. And we can see that the purple Manuka, the purple Phoebe at 1.5 meters, and then that purple Phoebe at 6 meters captured the highest proportions of beetles at these sites, whereas those green traps and the girdle traps were significantly lower proportion of the beetles. And actually, I didn't put the figure in, but the capture rates per day match the same trend, where the purple traps capture more beetles per day than the green and the girdle trees. And if we just separate out and just compare green and purple traps, don't worry about the lures. Purple traps capture a higher proportion of beetles than the green traps. And again, this was the same with the EAB per day capture rate, which I didn't include. If we just look at the lures themselves and not think about the colors of the traps, Phoebe oil was significantly higher than the girdle, and those Manuka lures were significantly higher than the Phoebe. So Manuka captures a higher proportion of the beetles at each site than the Phoebe and the girdle. And then this figure is the looking at the ability to detect EAB. The black bars are detection, so capturing one beetle is a detection, and then the white bars are no detection, so zero beetles captured on those traps. And then the numbers above are the proportion of traps in that trap type that had a detection. So if you look here at the 2007 girdle traps, there's a 21% of the traps had detection. And the girdle, 2008 girdle, 52%. And you can see the greens here, but we look at the purple traps, the purple Manuka had an 80% detection rate, purple Phoebe at 1.5 meters had 87% detection, and the purple Phoebe at 6 meters had 67% detection. So capture rates, the proportion of beetles that land on a trap at a given site, and then just looking at pure detection, where do we detect beetles, where do we not detect beetles, when it's a purple trap, there's a much higher odds of detecting EAB at these sites. So from this data, it appears that color may play the most important role in EAB detection. Even though the lures were different, if you go back to that figure, the purple traps, the purple Phoebe and the purple Manuka, they didn't differ between each other. So the lures may differ, but it's really the color of the trap that might be driving detection and capture rates. Purple traps with Phoebe lures, if we looked at those two, those that were at 6 meters and those that were at 1.5 meters, there were no difference in those captures and the proportion of beetles there. So height didn't seem to play, at low density, didn't seem to play as an important role. And then by using a lure this year, diameter of the tree did not play into detection ability. So doesn't matter the size, as long as you can get it up high enough. So just from this data set, the conclusions and recommendations I would make would be use the purple traps hung in a dominant or open grown tree, ash tree, and so it has to be an ash. It doesn't matter what species of ash, green, black, white. With a Manuka lure, seems to be the most effective trap at low density right now. And with that, I just want to thank important people at Michigan Tech field crews and contract foresters, and then field crews at the Brighton lab and the USDA lab in Brighton. And with that, we have questions, if there are any. Yes. I think getting the trap, the question was about timing of the traps with the low density populations. I definitely think getting them out early is the most important thing, because some of these traps caught a single beetle, and if you miss that one beetle on that trap, then you're out of luck with a detection that year. So I think getting it out as early as possible definitely is key to having the ability to detect it whenever possible, whenever it lands. Yeah.
I've been curious for a long time.
That definitely is a question about the size of traps that Joe might be able to answer.
The reason why they're as big as they are, we tried to get away from that this year. The reason why they're as big as they are is just it was what we could cut out of a piece of plastic at the time. And it works, and we're trying to get away from that size, but
it works kind of. Yeah.
So the size is based on what you can actually cut out of the plastic, really.
Yeah, and something that's reasonably.
And surface area, yeah. So, okay, and we're done.